It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. We are a cash-driven society, and because of that, we've come up with a lot of different ways to talk about money. Cash, coin, buck, funds, many others. For example, in public radio, we like to call it listener support. Today, we're going to explore the language of money, and with me is English language expert Patricia O'Connor. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language, and also the proprietor of the website grammarphobia.com. Hello, Pat.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
We do have a lot of terms for money.
We do. The chief one of all, of course, is money, which we get this word from Latin, from moneta, meaning a mint or a coinage. And this word even precedes classical Latin because it was the name of one of the names of a goddess. Later in classical times, it was identified with Juno. But previous to that, it was the name of a goddess in whose temple at Rome money was coined. So that's how moneta came to mean a mint or a coinage, and how we came to adopt it through the Romance languages to mean money. And a lot of people use the plural monies, which I don't know about you. I find it a bit annoying. Like, say you go to a school board meeting or a town meeting or something, and they refer to the monies in this or that fund. I always find that a little bit off-putting, don't you? It sounds a little jargony.
And that does seem to be the environment in which you encounter that, too.
Yes, you do. It's a bureaucratic term. You don't find ordinary people saying things like, oh, gee, I left my monies at home, or I've got to transfer some monies into my checking account.
Right, at least not over the age of four. You don't hear that often.
No, monies is a legitimate term in economics. For example, the term near monies, when economists use that, they're referring to highly liquid assets like savings accounts and CDs that are exchangeable for cash, but that can't be used to buy goods directly, that sort of thing. But I think when most of us use money, we should probably use it as the good old singular collective noun that it is.
Let it be so.
Right.
We're going to talk about a lot of other terms for money. And if you have a favorite term for money, give us a call and let us know what it is at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. 866-780-9100. And you've already used the word coin, and mm-hmm. that's a word that didn't originally mean money.
No, it didn't originally mean money. It also comes from the Latin word cuneus, which means a wedge. And this is the same word that gave us the word cuneiform for the ancient wedge-shaped inscription. The reason cuneus came to be associated with coining is that when coins began to be stamped, the dies that were used were often wedge-shaped, and so they were called coins. And that was how coin became a term for what these dies were stamping out, the money that they were stamping out.
And then that grew into coinage as well?
Coinage, exactly. It became a noun for making coins, and I should mention some of the coins that we most commonly use, dime and cent. Those came into American usage at the same time as dollar. Those terms were all established by the Continental Congress in 1785 or 6. They chose the word dollar for the chief monetary unit for the United States, because at the time of the Revolution, Spanish pesos, or pieces of eight, were commonly used for currency in the colonies, and they were called dollars in English. And I should back up and say the word came into English usage in the 1500s from the German word Thaler, T-H-A-L-E-R, Thaler, which was a large silver coin used in the German states. And that Thaler, the term in England, was used to apply to the Spanish pesos or pieces of eight. And the American founders decided to use the word dollar because it was a familiar term to Americans. That's what they called the Spanish coins. So dollar was chosen as the name of the chief American unit of currency.
And did they?
And the decimal system was also adopted at that time. And the words dime and cent were chosen to represent the tenth of a dollar and the hundredth of a dollar.
And did they make a conscious decision to not use terms that were used for English money?
I think so. I think that was, it was actually Thomas Jefferson's suggestion that we should use the name dollar. And he was also a fan of the decimal coinage system, which at that time it wasn't used for British coins. So we really needed all new terms. For instance, the British system was based on 12s. For instance, the shilling at the time of the Revolution, I think, had 12 pence. And I mean, this shifted greatly over the centuries. But and there were, I think, 20 shillings to a pound, sometimes 21. A pound was represented the weight of 1 pound of sterling silver. So they used a different system, and the Americans wanted to shift to a decimal system, so they needed new terms.
How interesting that we were able to shift to a decimal system for money, and
yes,
we never made that shift for distances. It still haven't.
Right. Right. Well, see, that had already been established. There was a necessity at the time of the Revolution to coin money and to set up a mint. And so that required a whole new approach. There wasn't a necessity at that time to measure things differently.
Okay, but I'll bet Thomas Jefferson wanted to.
He probably did.
How about the term nickel? Where does that come from?
Well, nickel, we didn't have a 5-cent piece until shortly after the Civil War. And it was called a nickel because it was composed of one part nickel to three parts copper. Before that time, pennies contained some nickel, and they were sometimes called nickels. But they were called red cents because they had so much copper. They were mostly copper, although later, for a time, they were bronze. And the quarter actually was introduced about 10 years after the cent and the dime in the 1790s. And it was called quarter because it was a quarter dollar. The half dollar also came along at about the same time, or the 50-cent piece, first produced in 1794. Now, here's an interesting point about the quarter. It's sometimes called 2 bits. Have you heard that? Now, we don't hear this much anymore. But 2 bits was a slang term for a quarter, or 25 cents, for a long time. And I'll bet our parents are familiar with this. But this has origins in Old England, where the word bit meant a coin of small denomination. And this tradition dated back to the mid-1500s. And in 17th century England, the silver coin of the smallest denomination became known as the bit, and it was worth 7.5 pence, or 7 pence and a half penny. So 10 bits was 75 pence, or in those days that was worth 6 shillings and 3 pence. And that was a common sum. So in the early 19th century, Americans started using the term bit to mean 12.5 cents. Now, the quantity 12.5 cents didn't actually exist, but people used the term bit to mean somewhere roughly between 10 and 15 cents. So they just used that as an approximate term. But 2 bits added up to 25 cents or a quarter. That was a precise amount. 4 bits was half a dollar or a 50-cent piece.
Is that where we get the term a little bit?
No, that goes back much further. A bit has been known as a small amount since, the Middle Ages. And using a bit for a coin came later.
We do have James on the line from Des Moines at 866-780-9100 with his favorite money term, and you're welcome to join our conversation as well, 866-780-9100. Hi, James.
Hi.
What's your favorite term for money?
Well, there's one that my family used a lot when I was growing up, which I don't know if anyone else knows, but we called money shpandulix, which I think is a Yiddish term. I have no idea where it comes from, actually.
And do you still use it?
Only with family. No one else knows what it means.
No, I'm not familiar with that one either.
Do you know how it's spelled, James?
I really wish I did. We never wrote it down or anything, never saw it in print. It just kind of came up in the household. We also
called
it clams
again.
As well.
Say the word again.
Spandulik.
Spandulik?
Hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sounds Yiddish or German, maybe.
Right. Yeah, uh-huh. And my mom was German, and she was she's not Jewish herself, but she was a big, she liked Yiddish terms, and she liked to use a lot of Yiddishism, so that's the only thing I could think of.
Uh-huh.
We also called money clams a lot.
Clams, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a common slang term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, uh-huh. James, thanks so much for your call, and clams, I suppose that one's pretty self-explanatory.
Well, you would have run into that maybe in the works of Damon Runyon or someone like that. What did that set you back? Oh, it set me back about 1,000 clams, that sort of thing.
and I have to think that comes from fishing communities or
I don't
know. Coastal communities.
There's no, who knows?
How about the term buck?
Buck, that's an interesting one. Americans began using buck as a slang word for the dollar in the mid-19th century, but we don't know for certain why. For example, the Oxford English Dictionary won't commit itself. It just says only that the origin is obscure. But I did find one slang authority who says that he thinks it comes from the American practice of using buckskins in bartering on the frontier. He quotes an 1851 reference in Ohio as saying that a muskrat skin was equal to a quarter of a dollar, a raccoon skin a third of a dollar, a doe skin, half a dollar, and a buck skin, the almighty dollar. I'd like to think this is true, but if it is, it's too bad we didn't keep that term muskrat for the quarter. You know? Can you imagine yourself asking to borrow a muskrat for the vending machine?
That's nice. That's very nice.
Yeah. Interestingly, the buck that's the word for the dollar isn't the same as in the phrase pass the buck. That phrase originated in poker, where a buck was some object like a pencil or something like that, that was thrown into the jackpot, and it was always held temporarily by the winner of the pot. And later in the early 20th century, the phrase "the buck stops here" meant that you were responsible. You were responsible for the next deal or whatever. And,
interesting.
Harry Truman made that one famous. But it doesn't have anything to do with dollar bills.
Fascinating. George is on the line next from Mason City. Hi, George.
Oh, hello.
Oh, Georgie, sorry.
George, short for Marianne, actually.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense to me.
Makes
go
perfect
on.
Sense. One of my favorite words for money is lucre.
Lucre.
Mm-hmm.
That is... Gosh, what is that? French? Wait, I'm looking it up right now.
Probably, because it's R-E.
Yeah,
I'm looking
it up right now. I know it's a foreign term.
Mm-hmm. Like filthy lucre. I mean,
right.
Would be the most. I was trying to think of the Latin that it might have come from, but.
Well, it does say.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Luke?
It's we got it from Latin lucrum.
Lucrum.
Lucrum. We probably borrowed it through French. I don't know about that. But it was first used by Chaucer in writing in the Canterbury Tales. Yeah, so it can mean money, also any kind of monetary gain or profit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we get the word lucrative from that.
Pretty good.
Does it have a, does it always have a negative connotation? I mean, we are well, never
hear clean
filthy.
Lucre, right. Only filthy lucre.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Dave is on the line next from Waterloo. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I had a question for the caller. I had read about a different version of the origin of the term two bits.
Uh-huh.
And what that was, and I think it was in a book called Economic History of the United States by John Steele Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And his explanation was that some of those original dollars, and I don't know if they were Spanish dollars,
mm-hmm.
Could actually be cut into eight different pieces.
Yes, that's true. The reason a bit was sometimes used in the colonial days was because, as I said, there were Spanish currency around. And you've heard the phrase pieces of eight?
Sure.
That's a term for an eighth of a Spanish real. And
okay.
They were actually cut into pie-shaped bits.
Yeah, and that's how I understood it. And they could
right.
be broken off and used as change, kind of
yes.
like if we could break a dollar coin into eight pieces
right.
today, I assume.
Right. So two bits was a quarter of a Spanish real.
Okay, I was just curious.
A quarter of a real. So
that
may,
yes. I didn't know if that contradicted what you were talking about a few moments ago or not, but it sounds like it all kind of fits in together.
Yeah,
there.
It all kind of contributed to that usage.
Okay.
So thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Dave. And Seamus is on the line next from Dubuque. Hi, Seamus.
Hi. I just was interested when I got to college in learning more about numbers and math, and I actually picked up a book on number theory, and I think that teaches an excellent perspective on how math relates to the basics of life. But anyway, we used to use a term, I'm not sure where this was originally from, if it was Greek or Roman, but for a grand, I always wondered that, like 50 grand for this or that. Well, 1,000 used to be referred to as a great hundred.
Oh. Huh. That's very interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I just knew it as number theory, and I thought,
mm-hmm.
oh, well, that must be why.
Well, that's a good theory, and I can't say otherwise because I don't know. I'm just now looking up grand in my big etymology to see if there's anything in there about that. Grand. No, it doesn't seem to say anything about the use to mean 1,000.
But well, it's as good a theory as any, Seamus.
It just says slang for $1,000, and it comes from about 1921.
Interesting. Well, Seamus,
yeah.
thank you so much for your call. It does feel grand to have $1,000. So.
It does. It does. And the Latin grandis meant great or big. So, and a grand does seem like a big amount.
And especially when you add numbers in ahead of it as well.
Yes.
I'm talking with Patricia O'Connor, our English language expert. She's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language. She's also the proprietor of the website grammarphobia.com. Today we're talking about terms for money, and you're welcome to join our conversation at 866-780-9100 or talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today with me is our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor. She is the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language, and also the proprietor of the website grammarphobia.com. You can find her blog there and learn all kinds of interesting things about the English language. And today we're talking about terms for money, which is something we seem to have a whole lot of terms for. And let's talk about the term for salary. Patricia?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one. Again, we seem to be using a lot of Latin here. This also is derived from the Latin word for salt, because in ancient Rome, a soldier's allowance for the purchase of salt was called his salarium, and that's how we got the word salary. Incidentally, the Latin root word sal for salt is also the ancestor of our word salad, which etymologically means something that's salted. So even if you don't use a salty salad, I mean, we do have sweet salads, but etymologically it means something salted.
Fascinating. And you're welcome to join our conversation with your favorite terms for money or any questions you might have. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Kevin is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I was calling about, you were talking about pennies and nickels and dimes.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, I got a couple 3-cent pieces.
Oh.
And I was kind of wondering what that there was all about.
I can't tell you that. I know that there were 3-cent pieces minted at a certain point in our history. I don't know when that was. But, you know, we had a lot of interesting coinages, both paper and coin money, that have disappeared. I think there was once a paper version of the quarter, if I'm not mistaken. I'm a bit on shaky ground here. And, of course, there were $2 bills at
right.
one time.
This is like an 1886, and it's a little bit smaller than a dime.
Ah.
Cool.
You better hang on to that.
I paid $8 for it, so...
I think it's probably a bargain.
Thanks a lot for your call, Kevin.
Yes,
yeah.
ma'am.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Next up, we've got Cora on the line with her from Urbandale. And Cora, you have more information on Spandulik for us, right?
Well, I don't know about information. It was also used in my family. And my family is the old Appalachian Scotch-Irish from Kentucky and West Virginia. So I don't think there was any Yiddish influence there. But we didn't even know anybody Jewish. But in any case, the phrase that they always used was spending spandulics.
Oh.
So there's a little alliteration there, and it has a little ring to it that goes with that. But that's what they would say, yes.
All right. And, you know, Pat, I looked it up online. And
Spondulic?
Yeah, and I guessed at a spelling. And they just say it's American slang originating between 1855 and 1860, and origin is uncertain.
You know, it's funny, when you look up most slang words, you get origin uncertain. Some of these things are starting to be filled in, though, because so many things are now digitized, and with old newspapers and diaries and things searchable, we are filling in some of the blanks, but there are an awful lot of origins uncertain out there.
Well, Cora, thank you so much for your call. And I have a certain origin for a slang term for money in my family, and that was when my son was almost 3 years old, he became obsessed with money, particularly with coins. But
mm-hmm.
he came up with his own term for it. He called them pay-pay. And
pay-pay.
So he would want his bag of pay-pay because it's what you use to pay for things. So,
yeah, yeah.
And we, of course, now his dad and I use that a lot more often than he ever does because
yeah.
we think it's so adorable.
He's forgotten it, but it's been inserted into your vocabulary.
Exactly.
You know, I wanted to talk about an interesting word that we all take for granted, which is bank. Bank, it doesn't sound very interesting, but it is. It comes from the German word for bench. And the reason this came into English is that in 16th century England, the bank, the German word for bench, which was bank, originally meant the table or counter at which a moneylender conducted business. And there's even a connection here with the bank that's the bank of a river or a stream, because in prehistoric Germanic, they've managed to reconstruct a lot of these old words from before there was writing. And in prehistoric Germanic, the word bank probably meant a shelf, either natural or artificial, made of earth, rock, or wood. And this prehistoric word evolved into both our modern senses of bank, the ridge of ground, like an embankment or a riverbank, as well as the place where money business was conducted, which was the bench. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is very interesting. We have another caller on the line. This is Steve from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've been listening intermittently, so you may have covered it already, but I was wondering where the term sawbuck came from for a $5 bill.
Oh, sawbuck. I don't know. Maybe there's a listener out there that can tell us. As I said, a lot of times these slang words for money like dough, moolah, do-re-mi is probably derived from dough, but a lot of these are of uncertain origins. But maybe if somebody knows about sawbuck,
have you heard that one before?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one.
Okay. Yeah, maybe somebody will call it. I just kind of wondered.
And is it always a $5 bill, do you know?
As far as I know, it's always a $5 bill, yep.
Okay, interesting. Hmm. Thanks a lot for your call, Steve. Just looking around online again quickly, it looks like it can, in least and sometimes, be referred to as a $10 bill as well. But I'm not finding anything else interesting. So we know that it is also a term used for holding rough boards, but I don't know why that's also a term for money. That's very interesting. Phil is on the line next from Fairfield. Hi, Phil.
Hi. I know these three terms for money, and two of them I'm pretty sure of, and the other one I'm not so sure of. One is, you know, when you refer to a $5 bill as a five spot.
Mm-hmm. Right, and a $10 bill is a 10 spot.
10 spot, right, exactly.
Yeah. It may just have to do with the fact that sometimes when you give someone something, you spot him. Like, I'll spot you a five, or I'll spot you a 10.
Oh.
So that would be a five spot or a 10 spot. That's a guess on my part.
Okay, I don't know what it means what to spot somebody, but whatever. You know, that's one term anyway. And the other one was British usage, and I heard it in films, a quid.
Right, quid. That's a very old word for a pound. And I once did a blog item on it a few years ago, but I can't remember what the answer was, why it was called a quid. But they have their own whole set of terms for money, like a bob. A bob is a shilling, a quid is a pound, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And they used penny a long time before we did.
Uh-huh. Well, the third term is something, by the way, that's so obscure. I've heard this, I can't remember where, maybe in a gangster film or something, but simoleon.
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 Don't know that.
I've heard people say...
That's a term for money?
Yeah,
I've heard it used, and again in like gangster movies, it seems to be.
10 simoleons. That'll cost you 20 simoleons or something.
Oh,
like.
Don't know that.
Don't know that one.
Obscure ones, eh?
Yeah. Well, Phil, thanks so much for your call, and maybe somebody will fill us in on simoleons here as well. If you have a money term you'd like to discuss or share with us, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I did come up with something about sawbuck, but it is from Wikipedia, so take this with a grain of salt. In the U.S., the term can refer to a $10 bill from the Roman numeral interpretation of the X shape of the device.
Hmm.
So it's taken from how it looks, supposedly.
Huh.
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah. I'll tell you something we do know definitely the source of it, and this is an interesting money word, fund. It didn't always have a financial meaning. Etymologically, it means the bottom. So at one time in old writings, you could find someone say that at fund, she is a very virtuous woman, you know. But, yeah, etymologically it means the bottom. It comes from the Latin fundus, meaning bottom. And it came into the English in the 17th century, meaning the bottom or the end. And only later did it come to mean a source of supply, a stock of something to be drawn on. And then by extension, it came to mean a supply of money set aside. So that's why fund is related to fundamental, meaning what's at the bottom, and to the word foundation, and to the words fundus and fundament, which are physiological terms for our bottoms, our rear ends. You don't hear fundus much, but it used to be used more often. Like somebody would get kicked in the fundus. So that's where fund comes from.
Wow, interesting. We got this email from Marion Miller. This is fun. She says, there's a cheer for school athletic events. 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, $1, all for the insert mm-hmm. your school name, stand up and holler.
Right. 2 bits was a quarter, 4 bits, $0.50.
Nice.
And 6 bits was 75 cents.
And it's a great rhyme. I haven't heard it in my attendance at athletic events. Although Dennis Reese, who is here on the other side of the glass, said that they used to use that in Cedar Falls when he was a student at Cedar Falls High School.
Oh, yeah, and they used it at my high school, East High School in Des Moines. I think it's a pretty universal cheer.
But perhaps has fallen out of favor over the years. All right, Brenda's on the line from Jefferson. Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, when I was growing up, my mom would tell me to go red up my room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I tell my kids to go red up their room, they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so, that comes from an old English term, actually derived from Scotch English, and before that, I think was in Dutch. I think the Scotch got it from the Dutch. Interestingly, the Scotch got a lot of words from the Dutch. But anyway, to red, R-E-D-D, meant to tidy or to clean. So red up meant to clean up or tidy up. I also did an etymology of that on my blog. You could search for it. Search for R-E-D-D, and you'll find more. It's pretty interesting, and it's used a lot still in parts of Canada, the east coastal provinces of Canada, Nova Scotia, for instance. And they'll have, for instance, these spring cleanup days in a town might be called Red Up Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common up there because of all the Scotch influence. Well, Nova Scotia means, you know, New Scotland.
Well, so interesting. It's a new one on me, Brenda. Thank you.
Yeah, and now I have it on good authority. They need to clean up their room.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Brenda. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can ask questions about money terms or your language questions at 866-780-9100. We have a few minutes left. Jeremy's on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. What's your question?
I named my band Zero Kills, and I did some etymology research on the band name, and it was okay. The terminology, you know, we use okay all the time, and I was what I found out was that it was, you know, the Civil War. They would come back and slate Zero K when no one was killed that day. Not really sure what the background. It was kind of there's some controversy between where okay came from. Do you know anything about it?
Actually, there's a linguist named Alan Metcalf who just published a whole book on okay. And actually, there are dozens of theories about where it comes from, but I think it's been narrowed down to one. And it was that in the first third of the 19th century, in the 1830s, there was a craze for using letters as abbreviations for things, but altering them. And that there was a term, all correct, and it was abbreviated as OK, as if it were spelled OLLK, K-O-R-R-E-C-T, all correct. And they think that that's the earliest reference to okay that's been found was that all correct.
It
didn't come from old Kinderhook, which was a one I think Buchanan, I don't know, one of the presidents used it in his campaign.
Right. Yeah,
but it was borrowed from all correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Jeremy, thanks a lot for your call.
Thanks so much.
And next up, we've got Patrick on the line from Davenport. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi. We host international students occasionally, and once I was asked what the word change means, and for the life of me, I couldn't come up with a good explanation.
Oh, you mean like change of a dollar?
Yes.
It comes from the use of the verb change to mean, can you change this 20 for me?
Okay.
Like, to change money is to convert it from one term to another.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, can you change this 20 into 10 into fives, for
well,
instance?
That's good. That's
or can
good.
You
that
change
about...
it from pounds into dollars?
Yes.
So it comes from that. The
okay.
leftover item from the leftover coinage from whatever is or the leftover amount from paying for something came to be termed to change.
Well, thank you. That was about the best explanation I could come up with, but I couldn't find anything in the dictionary. So, and just coincidentally, I'm in the area, actually the house in Davenport where Grinnell College started.
Oh, I'll be darned. My alma mater.
Well,
yes, it was originally
that.
In Davenport.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, it was originally in Davenport.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
A long time ago.
Patrick, thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thank you. And Diane's on the line next from Dubuque. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Has anyone mentioned the word moolah?
Moolah, no. I mean, I mentioned it in passing as one of those things that we don't know exactly where it came from, like dough.
Okay.
But no, that's a very common, term for slang term for money.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. Uh-huh. Thanks for your call, Diane. And we have Jeff sent us a couple of emails. He says, in my family growing up, we used the term buckazoids, which is the future term for money in the early 90s PC game Space Quest that we all played. He says, my family also used the term simoleons. They used that term in a Geico commercial as well. And they took it from the SimCity series of PC games. I guess we played a lot of games, but I still prefer buckazoid, he says.
Oh, yeah, buckazoid is a good one.
All right, we've got time for one more call here. Here's Chad from Dubuque. Hi, Chad.
Hi.
What's your question, quickly?
I was wondering about the origin of the word debit.
Oh, debit. It comes from the Latin debitum, which is where we get debt, the word debt, D-E-B-T. And a debit is something that's a debt against your checking account, for instance.
All right.
So a debit is a debt.
All right, Chad, thank you so much for your call. And Patricia O'Connor, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
Our English language expert, Patricia O'Connor, she's the author of Woe Is I and a number of other books about the English language and the proprietor of the website grammarphobia.com. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow we'll talk about raising twins. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Money.